Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Team Toby Positive Radio Show with your host, Charmaine Hammond. Join us each week as Charmaine and her Team Toby Pack improve lives by teaching kindness, acceptance, and respect. Our mission is to get listeners into the conversation about living a fulfilled, prosperous life through the unique and powerful animal-human bond. Be part of the team and lead the way of change. Find us on the web, Facebook, and YouTube at The Original Team Toby and on Twitter at Team Toby 2. Here's your host, Charmaine Hammond.
Hello, everyone. It's Charmaine Hammond with Positive Radio, All Things Pets. I'm really excited about the interview tonight with Trevor the Pet Guy. We're talking about Whisker Docs. And once again, I met my new friends at Whisker Docs through the internet, but we were actually introduced by a colleague that I belong to a business group with. And it was such a wonderful connection. I didn't know about Whisker Docs before I was introduced, and I'm a big fan of their services. So I am delighted to have Trevor on. Let me just do a formal introduction about Trevor so that you understand a little bit more about Whisker Docs, Trevor, and then we're going to dive right in, and I know you're going to get some great information. So Whisker Docs actually provides 24-hour access to licensed veterinary consultation services. They don't diagnose, but rather what they do is they help educate pet owners, that's all of us, about the decisions that they need to make on behalf of their pets. Trevor the Pet Guy, who is our guest today, is the top dog and president of Whisker Docs, and he's recently appeared on tons of print, radio, TV shows as an animal behavior expert on all kinds of topics of interest, such as dogs flipping, bringing home a new puppy. That was one I could have listened to a while ago. And the beautiful pet-human emotional connection that happens, as well as topics like selecting the right pet for your family. Welcome to the show, Trevor.
Well, thank you, Charmaine. I'm so excited to be here, and it was a pleasure. What an intro, by the way. Thank you.
Well, you've got such a great wealth of experience, and I've got to say to all the listeners, give out your webpage, Trevor, because sometimes we have listeners that just want to pop right on the webpage and kind of surf around while we're in conversation. So where would people find Whisker Docs and Trevor the Pet Guy?
You got it. So whiskerdocs.com, and there's a button right on the front page that says Pet Parent, and that's where we urge the pet parents to go. There's just a wealth of good stuff on there, and there's links to articles and all sorts of fun stuff you can check out and explore if you're listening with us.
Beautiful. Thank you. And we'll give the website out again at the end. Really go take some time to go through the website. There's great information on there. I love the pictures on there as well. I get lost in the pictures myself, and then I go back and read them. Now, Trevor, one of the things I wanted to give you the opportunity to do is to share with our listeners a little bit more about Whisker Docs and how pet parents could actually use that service.
Well, Whisker Docs is something that we're very excited about. We came from the human healthcare world beforehand, and, you know, we were surrounded by nurses and wellness coaches and all those types of healthcare professionals throughout our lives. And for me personally, it really changed my perspective and my life, really, on all things health. So it made me very proactive, and especially with pet parents. I know there's a ton of folks out there like that, and I'm sure you are, too. Unfortunately, they don't really know that they have NurseLine, so they resort to what we call Dr. Google or, you know, WebMD. And we've all been there. You know, suddenly your headache becomes a cancerous brain tumor and you freak out.
That is very true. And Trevor, I've caught myself doing that once our dog wasn't feeling well and I started just looking up some very basic symptoms. And, you know, I had myself in a pretty worried state. I mean, it was craziness and it was nothing. You know, so
exactly.
Thank goodness. But yeah, that whole diagnosing ourselves and our pets can be a dangerous thing.
Well, yeah, and that's, you know, what our head vet, Dr. Ellen, she's phenomenal. But she always says this, too. You know, she says anybody can post content to the internet. So where are you getting your info? And we, you know, she sends over a lot of pictures of dogs typing on keyboards and things like that. And it's like, you know, that really could be true. So you really have to be careful out there. Like you said, you got scared.
Absolutely, or we misread things and make decisions that don't help our pets.
Exactly, and that's what we're really here to do. And it's it's nice because when you call in, we're different. Like you said, we're decision support. So you're not going to call in and say, hey, my dog didn't eat this morning, and have a vet tell you, well, your dog has cancer. That's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But what we will do, yeah, exactly. What we will do is we'll help you figure out, okay, what do I need to do next? Is this really an issue? Can I treat it at home? Do I need to go to my vet? A lot of times folks call in and they're debating going to the emergency room. That's really expensive. But,
yes,
you know, to be able to hear, you don't have to go necessarily today, but you can wait until your vet opens and go see your normal vet who you like and you're used to. And these are the things you want to talk about.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, I really appreciate that you're capturing here, Trevor, that you go through those list of questions to be able to help the pet owner. Because not only does that help the pet owner get the information they need to make the best decision for their pet, but I also look at it, if I was on the call and I was calling, say, about Toby Jr. and running through some symptoms with Whisker Doc, I'm going to remember the questions you're asking me so that this also becomes a bit of education for me as a pet parent. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, and that's what we hope, because one of our big passion points is really just helping people get educated. Because as much as I know about animals, let me tell you, I've used Whisker Docs myself, probably enough to annoy our vets. And it's phenomenal what you just don't know. And that's the reason why we're there. It's, you know, we always say our kind of moniker in this idea is, you know, two things. One, because they can't speak for themselves. And two, you know, when you just don't know what to do, we're here to help.
Yes. Beautiful. Now, what would you say, are there common calls that Whisker Docs gets? Like, are there some themes that you see a lot from pet parents calling about?
Oh, sure. One of my favorite new topics, because it's been popping up just a ton, I don't know if it's the changes in the weather or what, but aggression in cats. So this is something, yeah, and it's, cats are such complex creatures. They really are. And it's so phenomenal to really get in and learn, but it's an extremely popular question, and one of the most kind of crazy things to me that I've learned is that cats actually reach social maturity between 2 to 5 years of age, right?
Wow.
So, yeah, and so to you, they look like the same, you know, cute furry fluffball that you've always had, but if you have other cats in the house, it's like introducing a brand new cat to the house, completely different attitude, personality, and so that can cause a lot of issues. It's, you know, we all know cats don't like change. So.
Mm-hmm. Very true. And so let's say with that type of a call where you're getting people calling in about cat aggression, take us through what a call might sound like. So the pet parent is explaining to the vet what they're seeing with their particular cat, what kind of behaviors they're seeing.
Sure. And this is a really great topic because it is pretty complex. So, you know, our vets will typically take a couple of phone calls before we can really, you know, get to the bottom of the issue. So, you know, somebody would call in and just say, well, our cats are fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the vet goes, okay. And that's what you think of as a pet parent. But then the vet can guide you through the process and say, okay, when did it start? Where did it start? Do you have any sort of clues that you could provide me so we can try and get to the bottom of the issue? There's lots of things that will come up that you just have no idea, like vertical spaces, okay? And
mm-hmm.
So if you think about cat trees, they're so vital to cats. And I saw this picture online somebody submitted to their house, and it was just completely customized basically for cats. And I'm thinking, cool, what an awesome, dedicated, smart pet parent, you know? But then you see some of their comments, and they go, oh, you crazy cat person. And it goes, no, this is important what they're doing because they really, really understand what's going on in their cat's lives, and the people that are saying, oh, crazy cat person, are probably some of those folks that could really use some of this help, because it's like, oh, you know, we're not quite sure why they're doing that, but it's important. And so they might be the type of pet parent to say, hey, well, let's just let the cats work it out. And that is never a good idea.
Yeah. Well, I love that. Well, and what great learning for the pet parent. So when the veterinarian is asking those questions, when did it start? What have you noticed? I mean, that's really mm-hmm. helpful to a pet parent to be able to look back and see, was there an event that caused a change? Was there something in medical? I mean, I can think of so many situations, Trevor, with Toby Sr. a number of years ago, when we were struggling with some of his behavior, and I mean, we just didn't get it. You know, what possesses mm-hmm. a dog to break toilet tank lids or rearrange my shoes or bury one and keep the other, you know, all these odd mm-hmm. behaviors. But I found it so particularly helpful when I had that pet expert guiding Christopher and I through a series of questions about, you know, what's going on before the toilet smashing. And one of the things that we discovered this was so helpful for us to learn. It was part of his behavioral challenges was coming down to how we left the house. And so we were actually able to pinpoint the days that Toby was sort of more toilet breaking, smashing, and more moving furniture around. Those were days where, you know, I might have been running a bit late and I kind of scooted out of the house really quickly and missed my routine. I didn't turn the radio on, didn't say Toby guard the house. And so he picks, all he sees is this, you know, this blur of his pet mom leaving the house, and he's anxious. But, I mean, I would never have come to that conclusion ever without the help of an expert.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting? I mean, I feel the same way, even though I've, you know, done tons of training, and there's always something new to learn, and I always know that, the real keys to training, of course, are finding, you know, what was it exactly? Pinpointing what started it, and it's so important because once you have that foundation, especially in dogs like Toby, they are there to please. You know, they want to make you a happy pet parent. So to them, this is completely normal. But to you, if you can pinpoint that and correct it like you've experienced, it's so, so easy once you know what the path is. And without an expert, it's very difficult to do that.
You know, the other thing that you've just made me think about, Trevor, is that when people do reach out and ask for help, so let's say one of our listeners does reach out and calls Whisker Dogs, I think what happens is it builds that comfort level to be able to ask for help again in the future. You know, so where issues don't go on so long, or where pet parents aren't tossing around in their brain, do I call the vet? Do I take them to Emerge? What do I do? You know, they're going to reach out for help when they have that positive experience. Is that something you see at Whisker Dogs?
Yes, and it's one of my favorite features because we actually really do want people to call in and use the service a lot. That's what we're here for. So, you know, for me, I had, thankfully, that background in human healthcare, so I was a little more comfortable. But even I, the first time after I called one of our own vets and said, you know, Bowie, my little cockapoo, he's got a really sensitive stomach, and I just don't know what to do. I've tried everything, grain-free, different sorts of proteins, really good quality food. And, you know, after that first call, it was like the next day when it would happen, I felt more and more comfortable. And so we kind of built this relationship, me and the vet that I worked with, and over a course of about a month and a half fixed it. But that's what we want, is because instead of sitting there racking your brain and stressing yourself out and probably even stressing your dog out, you know, just call in and find out, because a lot of times you can just get right to the issue, get comfortable learning about your animal, and then my personal experience I can tell you is I know a ton more about my own dog because I've called in so much. It's fabulous. We really love it.
That's great. And as I'm listening, I'm thinking our biggest fear as pet parents is probably not to make that call, that whole what if, not to make that call that we needed to make a call about, you know, for our animal safety or health. Now, are there, with respect to health, Trevor, at Whisker Dogs, are there frequent calls you see that are health related where people are reaching out to Whisker Dogs and it's sort of along similar themes, or is it all over the place?
Yeah, and that's a great question, Charmaine, because I'll tell you why. It's, you know, you see sort of the same symptoms, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because you go to your dog and you can tell that your dog's in pain, but you can't say, is it a dull or a stabbing pain? Like you could to a nurse, you know, they can't talk.
Right.
And so the list of symptoms aren't very long, but what can happen is when a vet gets on the phone, they can hear those symptoms and get a pretty good idea of what's going on and what you need to do. So a lot of those calls, for example, with dogs are, my dog's not eating, he's acting really weird, he's sitting in the corner, he's very listless, sometimes he's shivering, I don't know what to do. And if I saw that, my dog, I would freak out, go right to the ER, normally, you know? My dog's having a seizure, this is bad, you know? But they can have different reactions from foods, and a lot of times they don't even need to go into the vet. But when you call in and you talk to the vet and say, this is what's going on, and the symptoms are pretty much the same in a lot of issues with dogs, the vet can decipher it and say, well, this is something you might want to go into the vet about, or this is something you don't. And it's amazing to me, let me tell you, because we've had, you know, probably 5 calls about a dog in a week where it was the dog can't eat and the dog is hiding in the corner, and 2 of them needed to go to the vet because of stuff our vet uncovered and 3 didn't. And it's like, well, how on earth with the same 10 symptoms did you figure that out?
Right. Wow. Wow. I remember going into Emerge once with our dog, with Toby. He had injured himself with his with a stick playing fetch. It was, who knew? I never knew.
No.
The stick, Trevor, it was horrible. We threw, and it was a thick stick, like about 2 inches thick, something like a, it was more like a branch, a big, huge tree branch. And what happened is it was brittle. When it hit the ground, the stick went into the ground, and it split into two. And Toby ran into it, and it cut his throat. And you know, of course, we took him to the vet. And and he was fine, thank God. You know, everything worked out well, and he didn't need surgery. But the lesson for me was actually there was a big lesson. We don't ever use sticks with our dog, and now we go around and always tell people what happened to Toby because I had no idea that that was such a common injury. I'd never heard of it.
Oh, yeah.
That was big learning, and it allows us to be an ambassador for kind of safety around that way. But the other thing is that very night when we were in the vet, I heard three conversations in the waiting room. One was about grapes. You know, my dog, a little Shih Tzu had got on the pet mom's counter and ate a basket of grapes and was in serious condition. And another one ate chocolate and seemed fine. And then there was a big debate in the waiting room with all these pet parents about aspirin and not aspirin. And it was really helpful. The vet technician came out and was explaining, you know, the grapes, the chocolate, the aspirin. And I think, it's so important that we get the right advice, because everyone that was in conversation in the waiting room was saying, oh, well, my mother-in-law told me aspirin's good for dogs when they're afraid. And somebody else said, oh, but my brother, his vet said not to. So we take our very important advice from so many sources and the internet. And like you said earlier, we don't know if we're even acting on good advice. So that expertise is essential to help our pets.
Yes, and I'm so glad you said that, because it reminds me of a story. We have a pretty active Facebook page, and so we have this event, Chat with Dr. Ellen, where people can come on and ask questions. Mm. And so what was happening were a lot of folks were saying, oh, you know, there's a question about dog allergies. And somebody said, have you given your dog Benadryl? And I'm going, okay, so dogs can tolerate Benadryl, but, you know, wait until Dr. Ellen answers this question, because there's a specific dosage by weight, you know, and that's so important. So,
yes,
you know, exactly, and things like that pop up all the time. And one of the cool things, you know, chocolate does happen. It does. We all know it. Everybody loves chocolate. It's the most addicting substance in the world. So, you know, you've got chocolate. And think Halloween, you know, there's lots of chocolate. So what happens when somebody calls in to Whisker Docs, for example, about chocolate is you might just freak out and assume, okay, they've eaten chocolate, they have to go. But we actually have a chocolate toxicity chart, judging by what kind of, you know, chocolate it is, how much your dog weighs, and the vets can guide you through and say, you know what, they should be fine, or no, go right now.
Yes. Wow. Brilliant. Oh. Mm-hmm. Now, Trevor, I wanted to mention, too, I love that you brought up the Facebook page. I'm a big fan of your Facebook page. And so,
thank you.
Please make sure you go on and like the page, follow them, and it is a great source of information. But they also have blogs. They have, like, Dr. Ellen and other experts that are providing information. Now, how can people access the services of Whisker Doc?
Well, if you go to whiskerdocs.com and click Pet Parent, there's a way to register, and you can become either a monthly member or a yearly member or call for a single call. However, a lot of the stuff that you're talking about here are articles and our blogs. We even have things called step-by-step guides, which are similar to WebMD, but they won't freak you out. It's just to answer questions, and it changes as you go along. But all of that's free, and the neat thing about all of those step-by-step guides is they're written through the mind of a vet, you know. So the vet's going, okay, if somebody asks me this question, what am I going to say? And if they answer it this way, what am I going to say? And so all of these articles and guides are written through the mind of a vet, and our vets are really, really, really smart. And so you know that you're getting good information, and we have hundreds of them. So, you know, there's a lot you can do beforehand, but if you want to call, visit us online and just click Pet Parent and register now.
Wonderful. I think it's just such a great service. And somewhere, I can't remember if it was on your Facebook page, Trevor, or whether it was on one of the Whisker Docs blogs, but I got a great idea that I hadn't actually thought of again. And there was something on there somewhere that I had read about making sure that you're keeping good track of your own sort of dog's medical history and all the important dates and things like that. And I was thinking about that because, you know, recently I had to take a family member to a doctor, so we are trying to remember all the family history and all the sort of critical dates and events. And I thought when I went on to Whisker Docs and saw something similar, I thought that's really important. You know, when did sort of Toby's stick incident happen? You know, it's important to keep track of that information to be able to give that to Whisker Docs when you call in or if you're going for a follow-up with your own vet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and I'm glad you said that. It's one of the articles we probably send along with most of our calls. It's called Prepare to Call or Visit a Veterinarian. And so it gives you those steps, and it's so important. And one of the neat things about Whisker Docs, and this is why our vets love working with your local vet, because what they can do is say, all right, this is what you've told me. They write it down and they email it to you. We say retention is about 20% on phone calls because you're freaking out.
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't remember everything. Right. And so they'll send you a guide to say, okay, here's what we talked about. Here's what's going on. And here's what you need to tell your vet when you go in. And we can even fax that to their vet and help the vet understand. Yeah. And so if at any time you forget, you know, of course, call back in if you want to, but you can log on to your account and look at all of your pet's medical history.
Wow, that's incredible. Just that piece alone, Trevor, about having your vets be able to either fax or send that email to the pet parent or to the vet. I mean, that's so great because you're right. I've gotten off calls before where I've taken notes and jeepers, you're so stressed out you can't even read your own handwriting.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, you write something, you combine a sentence, and then, of course, you're giving the vet the wrong information. So that's fabulous that Whisker Docs will do that for the pet parents that are calling, and I think that's a really helpful service.
Well, Charmaine, I'm impressed that you're even able to go get the pen and the paper because I just freak out and I run to the phone and then I get up and what happened? You know, I know I feel better, but
yeah.
I still don't remember everything. I go, what the heck? And I know I'm supposed to do something. So what was that? So we make it really, really easy. Yeah, what was it?
Oh, boy. Well, Trevor, I want to, you know, I really love what Whisker Docs is doing, and I'd like to certainly connect with you about having you be a guest on our show, you know, periodically to kind of keep this information in the forefront. And as the trends in calls are changing, you know, there might be seasonal issues that you get a lot of calls about at Whisker Docs, and that'll be helpful information for our listeners.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think fall season has a lot of those types of events, and I love being on your show, so, you know, welcome me back whenever you want. I'll be there.
That'd be wonderful. Trevor, can you give out how people can get in touch with Whisker Docs again for me?
Sure. Just go ahead and log on to WhiskerDocs.com or check us out on Facebook, Facebook.com/WhiskerDocs, or you can email me direct if you have any questions at Trevor, T-R-E-V-O-R, at WhiskerDocs.com.
Fabulous. It's Charmaine Hammond here with Positive Radio, and we've been talking about Whisker Docs. They are a 24-hour access to licensed veterinarian consultation services. So what they're doing is they're helping you, me, the pet parents, make decisions that they need to on behalf of their pets who, of course, can't speak for themselves. Wonderful service that you're providing, Trevor, and I really appreciate what you're doing to make the world a better place for our furry family members.
Well, thank you, Charmaine. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Trevor.
Well, make sure you follow Whisker Docs at Whisker Docs. com. They've got great information, and their Facebook is just a flurry of not only content-rich information, but questions and answers and conversation that's going back and forth between Whisker Docs, experts, and people that are on social media. So great resource, WhiskerDocs.com. They're on Facebook. Wonderful resource, and really glad to have Trevor on. We're going to have Trevor on again. They have so much information to offer us, not only about the health of animals, but also about the behavior of animals. So we'll make sure we get Trevor and the team on again. I was just on a radio show earlier before airing this one tonight with the Bullyproof Classroom with Jim Burns was the host. His show was on Blog Talk as well. We had a great conversation about animal-assisted therapy, but also the parallels about how animal behavior can help teach us about children and human behavior. And we talked about when we were working with Toby to train him to be a therapy dog, we were learning skills such as patience and persistence and the importance of repetition and consistency. And there's these parallels of helping children learn skills of confidence, manners, and using corrective action with dignity and respect, which was part of what we were working on with Toby as we trained him to be a therapy dog. So I love the conversation about how our animals not only help us be better people, but the parallels between what we're seeing happen with our animals and how we're training our animals. We can use some of those same skills in our personal lives, in our work lives. One of the interesting pieces of news I have for all of you is our children's series of books, the Toby children's series of books. We have two in that series. The first one that came out in 2011, that is Toby, the pet therapy dog, and his hospital friends. And that story is for children kindergarten to grade three. And it's all about the stories that Toby actually experienced in the hospital as a therapy dog. But we, instead of having the characters be adults, we, of course, turned them into children so it was age appropriate for the reader, the child. But it talks about kindness, acceptance, and respect and how good it feels to help other people. And it also talks a lot about friendship and diversity. And the second book in the series that just came out hot off the press is Toby the Pet Therapy Dog Says, Be a Buddy, Not a Bully. And the exciting news about that is that we just got word that the series, those two books, were given the seal of approval by the Mom's Choice Awards. So this was not only exciting, but really, really gave credibility to these fabulous books and vetted them. We know that this credential is important for schools and for parents and educators. So thank you to Mom's Choice Awards for loving our books as much as we do. We also just got word that we're working on translating our book into French, which will be fabulous. It's already in Spanish, and we're looking to add the French translation. I won't be reading the book for the audio, or I'm going to have to go back to school and brush up on my French. It's been a few years, but we are very, very excited about that. And the Be a Buddy, Not a Bully book, one of the interesting movements that we've had on that book is that we've actually created some classroom materials. We had teachers and service providers that work with young people really wanting to find ways to use the book actively in their classroom or with children that participate in their program. So we've just created our classroom kits, and they're currently being tested. We have some test school sites that are working with us, and then the full program will be available in early 2014, which is really, really cool. We're delighted about that. And it's a great pleasure working with the schools, looking forward to getting the students' feedback on the materials, not just from the teachers. So we'll keep you posted on that. Of course, I always love to share stories about our precious pets, and I'm going to share one about Toby Jr. This week past, we had the opportunity to take him to doggy daycare. Now, have any of you listening ever taken your dog to doggy daycare? It is a lot of fun. If you're having a stressed out moment, I suggest you just wander down to your local doggy daycare in your community and just go and watch. You can't stay in a bad mood when you're in a doggy daycare. There's just energy, dogs with big smiles, and just a whole lot of fun going on. Well, this was Toby Jr.'s second time in doggy daycare, and you know how it is sometimes as a proud pet parent, we get a little nervous when we take our pets into new environments. Now, of course, I know logically that he would be fine, but there's that moment of separation when we hand over the leash to the doggy daycare staff. And it was interesting because she pointed out that the first time he came, he was actually quite shy. He came into the room with all these other dogs, and apparently when the new dog comes in the scene, everybody stops, all the dogs look, and then there's a flurry of barking and then the typical things that dogs do to greet each other. And she said Toby was quite shy on the first trip, and it was an older dog that apparently goes to this facility quite regularly that kind of took him under her wing, so to speak, and kind of showed him the ropes, wandered around the facility with Toby, and I guess he just kind of followed her, saw her as the team lead. And she said it didn't take too long, and she saw his confidence start to blossom, and he would slowly move away from this dog who was kind of his protector. Toby Jr. just turned a year old a couple of months ago, so he's still a pup, even though he's 90 pounds. And eventually, Toby found a couple of playmates and just played endlessly with them. Now, on trip number two, which was this week, he was not as shy. He walked in still a little nervous about the greeting and all of the noise and the excitement, but she said he made fast, furious friends with a Great Dane and a German Shepherd, and they just chased and played for the whole time that he was there. Of course, he slept for hours on the drive home and once we arrived home. But it reminded me of my childhood as I was listening to her talk about being shy. As a child, a young child, 4 years old, I was painfully shy. Didn't like to go into new situations, didn't like to be in the public, and actually got nervous when people would speak to me. And it was in high school, really, that I came out of my shell. Although I had a phenomenal grade one teacher, Ms. Barrett, who really helped to inspire a sense of confidence in me. But it was in grade 9 that Ms. Erstikaitis helped me come right out of my shell and find my voice, so to speak. Not only did my confidence improve and I was able to debate issues in grade 9 English class, which is what she taught, but it helped me start to choose my career path, which at that time was as a correctional officer. So I went through high school and then became a correctional officer. So as I was listening to the story about Toby being shy and taking a while to feel welcome in the environment and feel included, I can relate to experiencing that as a child, and I've even felt that as an adult sometimes, going into a new situation, we're a little nervous, don't know what to expect. And I see that in a lot of the workplaces that I facilitate in or provide speaking programs or appear at their events. And one of the challenges that we always face is, how do we include our colleagues? How do we make sure that new staff on our team feel welcome, they feel included, and in fact they feel engaged, they're able to participate fully in the team atmosphere at work? So my challenge for all of you as you go forward in your personal life is to think about, how can we show that high degree of acceptance to other people? How can we include them in our workplace activities? And of course, if you have a dog that needs to build some confidence and work through separation anxiety, a doggy daycare is a great way to do that and accomplish that goal. I want to thank you all for joining us for Team Toby Positive Radio. We are here the same Toby time, 7 p.m. Mountain Standard, which is 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Same Toby place on Blog Talk Radio, Team Toby. Until next week, have a fabulous week, and let's be kind to one another.